too. If you got stickers, you want to bag it because you want to get that out of there. Yeah. You want to get them out of there. If you got a lot of weeds and stickers, if you have weeds and stickers and you're mulching or side discharging, you're doing more damage. Now you're spreading the stickers. Yeah. If you're bagging them and then you empty that grass bag into a trash bag and you haul them away and put them in the trash or wherever you put them in the landfill or whatever, you're just removing them off the site. That I would do. And of course, if you have lots in the spring or in the fall, you know, it makes it cleaner when you bag because you can pick up all the leaves too. Well, we bag all winter long and we're hardly not even touching the grass, but what we're doing is picking up all the leaves.
Get rid of them. Yeah. You mentioned earlier about fertilizing and mm-hmm. that type of stuff. Is it too late or is it time? When do we do that?
Well, the spring fertilizing has been done already. It's good to put a fall feed on sometime around, depending on the weather. You know, our first cool front usually comes in through here about the middle of September, and you can never tell. Last year, it seemed like it didn't come till December. But when things start to change and we start to get into shorter days, it's good to put a fall feed out there. And what that does is that grass will absorb that fertilizer and it will store it through the winter, so you'll have a faster green up in the spring. And of course, then the next fertilizer I like to do 2 a year, and it would be April, late March, or you know, sometime in April, and then September-ish.
Well, one thing, and I joked on about this because him and my wife are friends too, and they've been trying real hard to find a plant that deer don't like.
Yeah.
And in Bentwood, I don't know if it's possible, maybe other than cactus.
Yeah.
Because I think they like just about everything.
Yeah, we've gone through a lot of that. You and I and other customers of mine with deer, when you research them, when you buy them from Lowe's or the nurseries, where wholesale nurseries, they never call them. They're real careful. They never call them deer proof, because that would be. That would be not possible. They're deer resistant. So there are certain perennials, lots of them actually, that the deer won't eat. It's because of the way they smell and taste. They don't like it. However, I've planted, and you've seen it, I've planted plants, stuff, perennial flowers and things that I've bought that actually have the label on it, just deer resistant. I've Googled it. I've researched it. And 2 days later, the deer were eating on it. I think the answer to that is, depends on how much other vegetation there is out there for the deer to eat. When it's hot and it's dry and there's nothing for them to eat, they'll come in and they'll make do with what's in your flower bed. Even if some scientist has said it's a deer resistant plant, they're hungry enough, they'll eat it.
I called Don. I said, Don, you know those beautiful flowers you planted for Claire? And he goes, yeah. I said, deer ate everywhere. He goes, Scott, I swear to God, I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna read to you right here. I said, Don, apparently these deer can't read out here because they ate every one of them, man.
Yeah.
So it is funny. But I'm thinking, and Lynn, you know, she went to high school in San Antonio, so did I. Competing high schools, but there's a place in San Antonio, they actually had to start harvesting those deer because they got so bad and start inbreeding.
Yeah.
I think Bentwood's going to get pretty close to that because there's so many deer out there now.
There's a lot of them out there, and as they keep building out there, you know, every year they're just building more houses out there, and, you know, 25 years ago, there was just nothing but pasture out there, and look how many roads and how many homes are built out there. And I think, you know, I'm not an expert on wildlife, but it seems to me that all the construction out there is squeezing the deer into smaller spots.
They're pets. They're just walking in the air. There's if you drive out there now, they're just standing in the road, just kind of waving at you. And, hey, you guys.
Hey, they got an easy life out there. There's lots of stuff to eat. Why? If I were a deer, I'd want to be in a neighborhood like that where there's good green grass and lots of shrubs and flowers. Heck, there wouldn't be any reason to move to a different neighborhood, right?
Well, I know one thing that you and Claire figured out, and I was not in the picture until y'all delivered them with a freaking 18-wheeler and everything else. But I did name them.
Yeah.
Larry, Moe, and Curly, and they're that big. And the deer will not eat this
landscape
feature. And that is massive rocks. And my dad would roll over his grave if I knew I paid for rocks.
Yeah, we are.
Sonora, Texas. But these aren't from Sonora. You can tell they're not. But these rocks are massive. Well, how much do they weigh?
Well, there was a couple of that went into your landscape that weighed 2 tons. There was one that weighed almost 2 tons, so that'd be just shy of 4,000 pounds. These are, you call them rocks, to give the listeners a better idea, these are, I would call these boulders. These are, you know, these boulders are as big as, a couple of them were as big as a desk or a refrigerator laying down on its side.
And we can say those are deer proof.
Yeah. Yeah, they're deer proof. Yeah, they can't move them or eat them. Yeah, that's the when it gets really bad out there, that'll be the only thing still left standing.
Yeah, I think they're not gonna blow away. They're safe. But is it the color in them? What is that?
Yeah, those particular boulders came from a copper mine in Arizona. I've got a source locally to buy those things, and they look, we call them turquoise boulders because when you look at them, they really have a beautiful turquoise color to them. They're really unique and very cool. what I got to researching and talking to the source of those boulders, and I thought, how are you, there's real turquoise in these boulders? It's actually not turquoise. It's there's copper elements in there that has become oxidized, and that's a copper patina. It's sort of like, anything that sits outside that's copper that gets weathered on will turn
that color.
Yeah, turquoise color. And they're gorgeous. I mean, it looks like there's veins of turquoise running through there. And it's actually oxidized copper over many years.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you can't find that around here, even though we have lots of rocks in Sonora we could have brought in. They wouldn't look like that.
No, these rocks are brought in from Arizona, and I'm not sure the name of the mine, but I saw them. I was in New Braunfels the other day. Can't remember. We were in San Antonio, New Braunfels, and I saw some of those copper rock boulders in another rock yard driving by. Of course, my eyes went right to it. And so I'm thinking that wherever this copper mine is, they are digging up and producing a lot of these boulders, and they just put them on 18 wheelers. I've seen them. I mean, they put them, you know, as big as the ones you got. Heck, they can only fit probably 8 or 10 of them on one 18 wheeler, but they bring them all the way from Arizona, and people love them. They cost more than what we would call a West Texas boulder, which would be a sort of limestoney looking, but they sure are unique and they're gorgeous.
And they do. They set off the front, and it needed something. So, but
yeah,
it was kind of, so you kind of do the whole, you do the rocks, you do the, and I'll give Don credit. He was out there himself saying, I'll put this one over here, do this over here. And they literally had to get an 18-wheeler to do it, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah, we do lots of stuff like that. As the years go by and people get more, just get more aware, get smarter about this drought stuff, we're doing lots of hardscapes, which are, I mean, if you ever go out to Scottsdale or Phoenix or Las Vegas, they don't have grass out there. They don't have the water to support it. And they're 20 years ahead of us on this. And they use lots of hardscapes, lots of rock, lots of, decorative gravel, and those accent boulders like what you have. There, people are trying to get away from having grass, where they're also doing, and we're doing some too, a lot of synthetic turf, artificial grass. In the old days, we called it AstroTurf. That's been many years ago. But that stuff, it looks the way you install it, and if you install it properly, it looks just like natural grass. Matter of fact, it's in the parking lot outside of this building right here. Mm-hmm. It looks just like natural grass, and it doesn't fade. It doesn't get dirty. I mean, you might get some leaves on it or something, which you can blow right off. It's obviously, it's a little pricey. It's more expensive than natural grass. But what I tell people, what you have to consider is, as the years go by, think of what you're not having to deal with. You don't have to mow it. You don't have to water it. You don't have to fertilize it. You don't have to do anything to it. It looks, after 5 years or 10 years, it looks like the day you put it down. It's green. It looks like perfect green grass.
And it does. And like you said, you don't have to mow it. You have to water it.
Yep.
And water is expensive in West Texas, and because we have to have it. We need it, and thank God we get some rain every now and then. But I'm going to say one thing about Don, and I'm proud of it. Don, I'm going to show you this. I don't know if you know, what do we call it, our military appreciation program? I'm not a discount broker. I don't believe in discount brokers. I don't believe in cut rate stuff. One thing I do for our military, though, is I do a rebate for our military, because I think if you're willing to go get yourself killed to protect our rights and what I believe in our stuff, I think you deserve something. And that's the only thing we do. And Don is a retired vet. So thank you for what you've done for our country.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. That's one reason I'm proud to have you as a friend and proud for what you do for us. So I just want to throw that in there for you.
Well, I appreciate it. I didn't know. I've done business with you before, and I can't remember. It's been a while since I bought or sold a house, but I didn't remember. But this is that's pretty generous of you.